Friends, turn to Genesis 22. We are given in this passage a description of Abraham's most severe, most difficult trial or test. Here in verse 1, we read that God did tempt Abraham. That is, he was testing Abraham. Have you been tested in your life? I'm sure in some ways you have been tested. But have you been tested in this way? That it's a matter of life and death for you? It is a test that is so difficult. You know what you ought to be doing, but there's temptation of stopping, not doing what God calls you to, or not doing what is right. Here is the test that God gives him. Here is a man, Abraham, who was the friend of God, the scripture says. But in God's good and wise providence, Abraham was called upon to endure the most heartrending trial that any person could ever had to face in this world, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Man of Sorrows. What a test. And this tells you something. If you're a Christian here, it tells you something. It's a great word of comfort here that all of God's saints, all of God's true believers must suffer in this world. They do, as our Lord Jesus Christ did suffer. And so, should we not, his followers, suffer? All believers must endure trials as long as they live. You see, faith must be proved. And it is proved only when it is put to the test. This intimate communion, this intimate fellowship and friendship, when it is with the Lord, when it is put to test, then it is shown to be real. And it wouldn't prevent trials in your life. Strong faith will not prevent trials. In fact, these things will most assuredly bring trials in a Christian's life. And you look at the history in the Bible, the inspired history. You look at the history of the church, and what do you see? People who were faithful to the Lord, and yet they were tested. They suffered much. They were persecuted. Abraham walked with God as a friend. Abraham believed in God explicitly or implicitly. Yet never was a man made to endure a greater trial than this. Abraham was required to sacrifice his only dear son, Isaac, who had given him joy. His name was Laughter. It made him and Sarah laugh. And he was to be sacrificed. And grief would enter into their hearts. And this, why? Because God had called him to. Friends, do not pay any attention to those who would tell you that it is never God's will for his children to suffer in this world. Or that all the sufferings are indications that God is angry and God is displeased. Or that the devil is in it. Don't believe those people. There are some even amongst Christians who say, well, the Christians shouldn't suffer at all. We shouldn't be ill at all. Here in Genesis 22, may write this message upon our hearts. True faith must be proved by trials. However, our subject is not the believer's trials, the Christian's trials. And so if you are not a Christian this morning, you might say to yourself, one of the complaints that people give is that, well, if God is so good, then why do Christians even suffer? Well, my friends, it's because of God's own will. He's pruning his people. He's correcting his people. He's got his own plan for his people. And that doesn't mean God is a bad God or is unwise. No, but the thing that should concern you, if you're not a Christian, is that in the trials God provides. Remember in this that God provides, God's provision. Do you remember what happened on that mountain called Moriah? That area that is still there, it is called Moriah. Do you know what happened? The Lord God had already provided a ram. The ram had been there before, had been finding food and was munching on the grass and so on, and then the horns got caught in the thicket. It got caught in the bushes and couldn't get out. God had already provided. That ram was to be a substitute. Instead of Isaac, he was to die in the place of Isaac. And there Abraham raised up an everlasting memorial to his God Jehovah. You read verse 14 again, which is our text. Here we are told this. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This is the title of the message now. God provides the remedy for our sins. God provides the remedy for our sins. The name by which God revealed himself to Abraham is here Jehovah Jireh. It may be translated in three different ways. If you have a margin in your Bibles, you are given two other translations, correct translations. Here is this, that the Lord will see. That's one translation. The Lord will see. The Lord will provide is another translation. That's what many people are familiar with. And the Lord shall be seen. But however we translate this name of our God, Jehovah Jireh, it expresses the idea of God seeing and God being seen. For God to see, we could say, is for God to provide. And you know how we sometimes say this, I will see to it. I will see to it. What do we mean by that? And so we use this kind of idiom. It's an idiomatic language that God uses here. I will see to it, we say. When we mean, well, I will take care of it. I will provide for it. I will see that it is done properly. And in fact, our English word, provide, do you know where it comes from? It comes from the Latin. And the word provide, it comes from the word in Latin which means to see. That's what it means. To see. And this is the meaning of the text then, that God sees the sinner's need. He saw the need here, and with the foresight of his own love, he prepares, he supplies. God sees the need of a people, and he supplies the need by his grace. And he's seen in the provision that he makes. So the truth that is here in the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, that ruled Abraham's heart. Does that rule your heart? He believed in this God who sees and provides. It was faith in Jehovah Jireh that sustained that old patriarch's heart throughout this whole ordeal. Faith in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. That was the thing that enabled Abraham to give that prompt and unswerving obedience that is recorded for us in this chapter. So you see, what was it that made him do this? What was it that made him not doubt? What was it that made him not question? Because he was walking by faith. That's why. He was trusting in the Lord. That's why. And so, if you're not a Christian and you are filled with all kinds of doubts and you are changing your minds every day, it seems, you're going up and down. Why is that? It's because your heart is not settled. You don't know the Lord yet. But you may know Him. That's the wonderful truth. You may know Him. And maybe you're a Christian and your life has been like that too. And maybe you're taking your eyes away from the Lord. Maybe that's it. Maybe you have, like those reptiles that they can look in two different directions at the same time. You know those ones. Maybe that's been you. You've been looking to the Lord somewhat, but then your other eye has been on these other things. That's maybe it. Many things must have crossed Abraham's mind, which might have caused him to disobey God. Don't you think he was tempted to not go? He might have asked himself many questions. Well, if I slay my son, kill my own son, imagine that. How can God keep his promise to make my seed as numerous as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea? This is my only son. What am I going to do? But he answered that question by saying to himself, the Lord will see. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. As he took that painful journey to Moriah, Abraham must have had many perplexing questions that he didn't have the answers to about Sarah and his relationship with her. How will I tell Sarah that I've killed our own son? Can you imagine it? I'm sure you would think like this, and he would think like this too. What am I going to say to her? She will certainly think that I have done a horrible thing. She might leave me. How can I convince her that this was something that God asked me to do? Will I lose Sarah as well? Will she despise me and leave me? But he strengthened himself in these words. The Lord will see, and the Lord will provide. What about his servants? And what about other people who knew him? What would they say? But he was determined to obey God, regardless of the cost or consequence. Abraham said to himself, the Lord will see, the Lord will provide, I am sure of it. I will obey God's call and not give in to my feelings. Oh, my friends, we give in to our feelings so oftentimes. And we regret it afterwards. Why did I do this rash decision, this quick thing? Why have I just given in to my bad temper? I must not fear. I must trust in the Lord. I must obey God's call. And not give in to these things, these feelings of mine. I have to have faith in him. He will not break his promise. He will not alter his word. Perhaps he will raise my son from the dead. He is God. He can do all things. But even if he is not pleased to do so, by one means or another, my God will justify my obedience. He will vindicate his command. His name is Jehovah Jireh. So even before he knew how this trial would end, Abraham confidently believed God. Do you have that confidence in the Lord? He was trusting the Lord to provide what was needed. You read verses 6 and 7. Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood. You see, we have the fire with us. We have the wood with us for the sacrifice. But, he says, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the sacrificial lamb? And Abraham answered with confident faith in the Lord. He says, my son, God will provide. God will provide. This name of God, Jehovah Jireh, it is our hope. It is a blessing to the Christian. It silences every unbelieving thought and carnal objection. What kind of faith do you have? Maybe you have no faith. Maybe if you were in this situation, you would say, no, I won't follow this God at all. I won't serve him at all. Will you give up on your dearest? The dearest things that you have? The dearest people that you own? Will that faith Give up your life for everything, everything that you have for God? And you think about it, these words were given prophetically and by Abraham about, yes, Isaac and his substitute. They were a direct prophecy of the coming Isaac, the coming substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, the substitute whom God has provided for us sinners. When Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, he gave honor not to his faith, but to his God. He testified of God's goodness and grace. He tells us this, that in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And without question, he's speaking prophetically of Mount, not just Moriah, but Mount Calvary. The true Moriah. There he says, the Lord shall be seen. The Lord of glory. Abraham, by the spirit of prophecy, was saying to us, as God provided a substitute for his son Isaac, so he will provide a substitute for all of his people, his covenant people, in whom the Lord will be seen. And that substitute is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's why John the Baptist pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." See, that's the Lamb of God. He's also telling us that as God provided for him in this time of extremity, so he will provide for all who would trust him. The God of Abraham lives today. He is the same today and as he was in Abraham's day. He is our God. Is he your God? In our hour of great need, we must trust in him. And today is a day of our need. May we trust in him too. Jehovah Jireh. Let us trust him, my dear friends. Abraham was a needy man, and you are a needy person. Let us trust in him. God has provided himself a lamb for the sacrifice. He is our preserver. He is our provider. So I want us to see this truth and see it firmly fixed in your heart. I want you to see that God's provision for Abraham and Isaac is typified. It's a type. It's a picture. It's picturing of the far greater provision of God's grace for all sinners who would believe. That they are delivered from sin and from death. I want you to see that, of God's provision for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the death of Jesus, on Calvary, on that cross, he has given us a sure guarantee that all our necessities, both physical and spiritual, it will be provided by him for both time and eternity. So this is about the provision which God made for Abraham. It was a type of Jesus. It was a picture of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, God's only begotten Son. And I will spend this time just to give you the background, but I have three short points here about this. Jehovah Jireh. First of all, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will see. Secondly, Jehovah Jireh, it means that the Lord will provide. And thirdly, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will be seen. So those three meanings of that word I want us to see, and especially see it in the light of Jesus Christ. So first of all, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will see. It tells us that the Lord will see what? What did he see? The great need that there was. As God saw Abraham's great need, and as God provided for it, the Lord constantly sees the need of sinners like us. He sees the need of his children. And he provides for them. The provision of the ram to die instead of Isaac was the significant type or picture that was before Abraham's eyes when he called that name, the name Jehovah Jireh. The Lord Jesus, he tells us that what it says in John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 56. He says, do you know Abraham saw something there? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw my day and he rejoiced to see it. And he saw it and was glad. It says in John 8:56. So Abraham was looking by faith to Jesus Christ. So if ever Abraham saw Christ's day, he was made to rejoice for it. It must have been at this point that a substitute had been found for Isaac. And the teaching is this, friends, that God, in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, made full provision for all our needs. So there is nobody here who can say, well, no, God will not provide my need. No, I have to do this thing myself. This is the thing that God will not provide for me. That is the heart of an unbeliever. That's the heart of a person who is not thinking spiritually and truly. Yes, he sees our need because of our own sin. Sin is the thing that is causing the problem in our lives. And the Lord sees that. That's the need is for the sin to be removed. And all the provision is made through his Son. The Lord graciously saw the needs of people in this world long before we even were aware that we have any need before him. Our great God saw the need because of our spiritual ruin by sin. As we had fallen in that first man, Adam, the Lord saw. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, the Apostle Paul says, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There is sin in the world and in us, and we are all affected by it. We are experiencing it. And that is why there is so much sadness and sorrow and sickness and disaster and death in this world. And the scripture says that spiritually there is deadness in our souls. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. Nobody is born a Christian. We are without life toward God. We had no righteousness before God. We had no ability to produce righteousness, to do things that are good in his sight. Yes, we do things that's good in our own sights. In our own views, we pat ourselves in the back and say, well, I've done well here. We look down at other people and we can find enough people who are worse than us and say, well, I'm better than so and so. But the scripture says that we have been alienated from God. We couldn't bring about reconciliation and peace. We have no claim on any of the God's promises that God gives. And we are all, by nature, without God, without Christ, without hope, perishing in this world. That's the stark picture that God gives us in the scriptures. But also God saw all of that, saw our great need as a willful transgressors. We disobey God's law willfully. It's not that we are just ignorant of them, but we willfully. We do things knowing that we are doing wrong. We constantly break every commandment about our duty to God. You think about that. God has said to us to not to bear false witness. And can we not exaggerate things? And you know yourself, you become ashamed. And then suddenly you say something. Somebody asks you a question and then you try to make yourself look good in front of them. We all do it. And we say something, it's a bit of a half-truth. You say it in a way that people would think, well, later on when they investigate, yes, some of it is true, but it's not all true. We all do that kind of a thing. We don't keep God's law. But also, towards one another, break every commandment toward our duty to our fellow men. We don't love one another as we ought to. We don't love strangers. We don't love our enemies, as our Lord Jesus Christ said. And all of that, the law of God demands our punishment. It's a serious thing. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3 and verse 10, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So if we can't keep all of it, we are cursed by it. The gates of hell, as it were open wide, ready to swallow us up into perdition. And God sees all of these things. God saw. God sees that we are perishing without Him. We are condemned to die eternally. And it is a just condemnation. But our great and merciful God saw all our needs and intervened to save us. God has to intervene. You can't deal with it yourself. You have to, like it is, some of you, like me, don't know how to fix anything in your house. You don't know how to do the electrical work or the plumbing work, and you have to call somebody in. But my friends, the same applies in spiritual things. You cannot fix this issue yourself. We need help from above. The great physician of our souls, He has to intervene. But before even we cry unto Him, He's already made provision, the scripture says. Just when Isaac was in imminent danger of death, the Lord stepped in to deliver him. The knife was lifted up, and you can see it in your mind's eye, the picture. And the hand of Abraham was resolute to plunge that knife into his heart. Isaac was put just a second from death when the angel's voice was heard. "Lay not thine hand upon the lad." God provided when the need pressed urgently. So it was with us. When God saw that the world had come into a state of great danger and misery, even before all of these things happened, from eternity past, He had planned to send His Son. And Jesus Christ had agreed that He would come. And the Lord Jesus came, made of a woman, made under the law, the Bible says, to redeem them that were under the law. God sent His Son into the world that the world through Him might be saved. In due time, the Bible says, Christ died for the ungodly. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. So what do you say then? Have you come to know this God who sees your needs and gives over His only Son to be the Lamb that will take our place? It is not until we understand these things, and for some of us, God deals with us in different ways, but ultimately we see that we need Him. We see something of His love. We see something of our awfulness. We see, some of us might see very vividly that we are at the door of hell. We feel guilty over our sins, and it is all crushing us. And God, the Holy Spirit, then shows you, reveals Jesus Christ, our substitute to us. No man never will be saved until he is lost. No one will ever be clothed until he is stripped of his own self-righteousness and pride. No one will ever be filled until he is empty. Christ comes only to those who need Him. But He always comes to those who need Him. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord saw, the Lord supplied my need. And He will do the same if you call upon Him, if you sense that need too. I needed life, He gave me Christ. I needed redemption, He gave me Christ. I needed righteousness, He gave me Christ. I needed pardon, He gave me Christ. I needed peace, He gave me the Prince of Peace. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see. Are you in need of this saving mercy? Are you in need of this grace? If you need Christ, then you must call upon Him. And He will answer. May God put that need in you. But secondly, very quickly, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Already, you know the account here, the story here. I've already touched upon it. But allow me to just say a few things. If God sees my need, my provision is secure. And this is what Abraham tells us by this name of God, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Emphasize on the will. The Lord will provide. It doesn't just say the Lord provides. The Lord will provide. Or shall provide. And I want you to notice several things about God's provision of Christ, our substitute. God's provision upon the mount was made spontaneously or unexpectedly. The provision that God made for Abraham and Isaac was altogether voluntary and free. God had not promised that he would provide, but Abraham knew by faith he would provide. It wasn't looked for. And God gives for us his son to die in the place of sinners. And all of that was voluntary. All of that was free. All of that was, we could say, spontaneous, unexpected. People were not looking for him. People are not looking for him even now. Christ died for us freely, dear friends, unsought, undesired, unwanted. He died for us before we were even born. There was nothing in us to force him or to encourage him to die for us. He sent his son to redeem us. And Christ came to redeem us by his death. And simply because of what? Because he loved sinners. That's why. He loved sinners. Hereby perceive we the love of God. We read in 1 John. Because he laid down his life for us. That's how we understand the love of God. He laid down his life. It's not just talk. Because talk is cheap. He actually laid down his life. We sin, God saves. We stray, God seeks as a good shepherd. We wander off and God finds. We run and God catches us in his own arms. That's what the Lord does. That's his provision in Jesus Christ. He provides, and his provision that God makes is always the very thing needed. It was a ram that was needed. Imagine if God provided something else. A bunch of flowers? Some other thing? Piece of bread? That's not what they needed. You see, this world is trying to say to you, you need this thing. You need that thing. You need to get your appetites and these things that you feel fed by this or that. But they are not the things that will provide the need. But God provided a ram. God has provided Jesus Christ, what we need. And so God knew what we needed. There was a need for a sacrifice of someone who's perfect. The immortal God undertakes to endure the death of a man. And so he puts on humanity on himself. Perfect man is to die for us. God's only begotten, well-beloved Son is made to be the object of his complete wrath. Can we understand it? No. We can't even enter into understanding it. But that's what the Bible tells us. The joy of heaven. You see, the joy of heaven is Jesus Christ. He's the center of heaven. The joy of heaven becomes what? The man of sorrows, the Bible says. He sheds tears. He's grieved. He cries. God alone knows that what God endured on that day for us. And God alone knows the love of God that is revealed and shown in the death of Christ. So this one thing I know, Jehovah Jireh is the name of our God. He provides us with what we need, an all-sufficient substitute, the Lord Jesus. But also, the provision for man's need was made by God himself. No one else could provide a ransom for my soul. No one else. No angel, nothing else, no systems could provide for our soul's needs. God himself has to do it. There is no third parties involved. To deliver him from going down to the pit, we read in Job. He says, I have found a ransom. God has found a ransom. Is it not an amazing thing, a marvelous thing in your eyes that God should provide us with a Savior? It is God's law that we have broken. It is God's honor that we must be upheld. It is God who has been offended. And yet it is God who provides for us our salvation. It would have been the just thing to say, you find a way of salvation. You put things right. Isn't this what we say to each other? We say, you damaged it, you fix it. You lost it, now go and buy it. Isn't that what we would say? Yet God doesn't do that. Because we could not. We couldn't save ourselves. That's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonder of the gospel. Oh, my friends, don't you see then? That is why we should never interfere with God's provision. You must never interfere with the meaning of what the cross is. You shouldn't interfere with the meaning of the grace of God or what sin is, what the law of God is, what is the worship of God. You can't interfere with all of those things because it is God who has established for us what they are. You can't reinvent it. I can't reinterpret it. Even though in our world you say, well, these things are things of the past. We need to reinvent what these words mean. It is God who provides for you. And if you try to provide for yourself a way, then you will be damned. If Jehovah Jireh provides, and Jehovah Jireh is himself our substitute, there is nothing else left for us to provide. Whatever you need, God provides. I must move on very quickly to the last thing. The third thing is this. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will be seen. The Lord will be seen. Where will he be seen? He will be seen by faith. He'll be seen in the Mount of Sacrifice on Calvary. We must go again and again and again to Jesus Christ on a daily basis, remembering what he has done for us. We go to Calvary. We go to the cross, for there the Lord will be seen. My friends, here is God's provision then. For your sin, there is the blood of Jesus Christ. For your ignorance and your unbelief, there is the wisdom of Christ. For your weaknesses in your sins, there's the strength of the Lord Jesus. For your emptiness and not having anything of yourself and loneliness, there's the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. For your death, there's the life of Jesus Christ provided. Here is the test then. How do we pass this test? The passing of the test is faith only, trusting only in what God has provided, what God has said, and bowing our knees in repentance before him. Turn away. And you might say, well, this is what I have done in the past. Well, don't be fed up of it. Carry on. Day by day, we turn from self, we turn from sin, we turn from these temptations, we turn from the devil, we turn from this world. However much we have fallen into these things, we turn to Jesus. We run to Jesus. We look unto him. That's why the Bible keeps repeating itself. Because we need these reminders. Look again. Look again to Jesus. Well, may the Lord then bless us these few thoughts.